If you're our guest today, it's good to have you with us. If you haven't been here, we've talked for a couple of weeks about children and trying to help raise our children and train our children, hopefully because we have had them around us more the last few weeks since they've been out of school. Some of you are counting those days as to when they're back in school, right? It's okay. And your teachers, bless your heart, you have to go back soon. So we're talking about that a little bit more today, and we'll for at least one more week. But you say, well, I don't have children anymore in home. Well, if you have grandchildren, that will work. Or if you know children in the community that maybe do not have parents trying to help, you might can be used by God in their life as well. But there's something all of us can apply some of this to in our own life, and that is training our children so they'll be faithful and remain faithful past 18, because it is sad when you look at the stats as to how many children that may have been raised in church or came through church, but when they get in college, then they're, and sometimes before college, in high school, they're gone, and they do not remain. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Jan King said that one of her neighbor's sons, I can't believe they had a problem with this, but they didn't want to pick up their clothes when they told them to. The dad especially, you know, he would tell him to pick up your clothes, and he said, okay, I'm going to, but he never would. Never would do it when they said do it. You know, when we mean pick up your clothes now, that means when? Now. Well, I'll do it, and then that never comes around. And so he said he was always kind of, you know, he just never did do it. But he graduated, went off to Marine boot camp, and after boot camp he came back, and his dad was asking him, he says, son, tell me one thing that you learned while you were at basic training. He said, I learned what now means. Yeah, training does that. You know, train means to actually exercise to get something accomplished, right? That's what this means when we look at this verse in Proverbs 22:6, when it says train up a child. That's what that means. It's not just words. It's a whole process so that they remain. But it is difficult. You know, in Judges chapter 13, verse 8 and 12, Manoah, which was Samson's father, he asked that question. He said, what should we train this child? What should we teach this child? That should always be a crucial question for any Christian. What things should I be training my child? You know, not to let the preacher or the Sunday school people or the school system, what should I, as a parent, be training them? And that's what the verse is that we're going to look at today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we'll expound this a little bit more as we go through it. And this is this next quote is it's not brand new, but you would think they just wrote it yesterday. If you've been in the school system very long or out of the school system, you may remember when actually this may have been kind of pushed on you because it was given in some educational seminars a few years ago. And look what it says. They're teaching teachers in the public school system this. Every child in America entering school at age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to the school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers. Wow. Now, here's the sad part. A professor emeritus at Harvard Psychiatry School and Medicine is the one who taught this. Okay? Supposed to know what they're talking about. Boy, they don't, do they? Toward elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. They believe those things, so they're mentally ill when they come to you. So, it is your job. It is up to you as a teacher to make all these sick children well, by creating the international child of the future. Boy, that's what we have, isn't it? This is quite a few years old. And if you look at the school system now, you'll say, boy, they took it. They did it, didn't they? You know, that's exactly what we have. If you believe anything about authority, as we're going to see it, that's what was taught. So why am I saying that? Because that's why it's so important for us to teach our children. We can't depend on a school system. I don't care how good your school system is. I don't care if it's a private school. I don't care what it is. We cannot depend on them. We cannot depend on a university. But we can't depend on anyone else. It is our responsibility to train our children if we want them to stay with it. And then it's only a chance. You know, as we're going to see, Proverbs is not a promise. It's a statement, a wise statement. It says, if you do this, well, there's a good chance this is to go right. But if you don't do this, surely the chances are much less that it's going to go right. Did you see that? It's up to the teacher to retrain the thinking of the children, because they come here believing all this stuff, and it's just not right, because we got to make an international child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Wow. Isn't that something? It does not mean that a child that is trained to live for God, when they're young, you take him to Sunday school, you try to teach him yourself, whatever the process is, will then go live a life apart from God, and then when they're 50 or 60, they'll come back. That's not what that means, okay? That's not it. A lot of times, how many times have I heard that all my life? They'll say, oh, yeah, we do this, so, oh, yeah, he's living like a pagan now, but he's going to come back. You don't have any guarantee of that. That's not what the Scripture says. The phrase when he's old literally means it's like a boy that's starting to have fuzz on his face. He's becoming a teenager. He's growing up some. And he's getting to that point where when they're going to rebel and turn, that's when it is. It's when you're going to start to see it. And when he gets there, when most of them do it, they won't. It doesn't mean a 50-year-old. That's not what it means. When he reaches the age when many teenagers go astray and turn away from God, they'll stay. That's what it is. What the child, when they reach puberty and maturity, they will keep serving the Lord Jesus if we train them. Why? Because you have to train to do anything, right? You have to exercise it. You have to work at it. It's not easy. It's not complicated. It takes some deliberation and thought. Okay, how are we going to do this? It's work. And that's exactly what it means. It means train. Training goes beyond teaching or imparting knowledge and includes positive motivation as well as modeling and godly behavior before the child. A lot of stuff. You say, boy, that sounds hard. It is. This would sometimes help explain a child who, under the influence of a godly home, chooses to stay with the things of God. And then on the other hand, the adult years, they tire some of them and they quit and they don't come back. Why? And he says, if you train them right, there's a good chance they'll stay with it. If you don't, boy, the chances are really good they won't. Training a child on the basis of this verse includes three main things that come out of train up a child. It's not simple. It is time-consuming and hard work. Number one is this, dedication. What does that mean? Is the consistent meaning of the word train up throughout the Old Testament, this is just a few of those verses, where this is what it means. First, begins with dedicating the child to the Lord. You know, that, you know, we like they did Samson, like they did Samuel. God, we want you to take him. We're going to do our part, and we want you to bless it because we want him or her to be used by you. Dedication, you know, staying with it. As parents, we must realize that the child that we love belongs exclusively to God, and we just kind of have them for a while as a steward to try to train them and get them ready and help them teach and exercise. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Exercise yourself unto godliness. What? You have to learn how to do that. You know, you have to train yourself not to do bad things and to do good things. It's just not a natural thing. You have to train it. You have to train ourselves, whatever we do, right? It's the same thing. He's given to us, and we're stewards over them, so we have to understand, number one, first, that. Bertrand Russell was a famous atheistic philosopher, very deep thinker. was raised in a godly home. And his daughter, Catherine, said that the problem was, you know, he was raised, he knew about God, but, you know, he left and went his own way, and he spent the rest of his life trying to fill an empty slot in his place, in his soul, where God once was, and he threw him out. And he spent the rest of his life trying to fill that empty soul with something and never found it. And he was miserable. Why? But he knew better. There's no guarantee, even though we try to train him. The second part of that is, number one, dedication. The second part is instruction. The meaning of this word is used in a lot of Jewish writing is simply this. They are to instruct or cause their children to learn everything essential in knowing and pleasing God. How much time do we spend instructing our children in this capacity to compare to what we dedicate ourselves to train them in some other area of their life? When you sit down and look at it. Well, he wants to be this, or she wants to be that, or she wants to do this. So we spend all this time getting them instruction so they can be good at it. And in comparison to what we do from God's perspective, how does it compare? Is it even on the scale? Instruction. Harry Ironside, a great preacher, pastor at Moody Church for a long time. When he was a boy, he was working for a shoe cobbler. And his job was they would wet the leather and cut out the silhouette of the shoe. And then after it was cut out, they would wet the leather. And he would have to take a flat mallet and beat it back out till it was dry. And then he would sew it into the shoe. Well, you know, it was laborious, and he just kind of didn't like it, but he stayed with it. But he would visit around some of the other cobblers, and he saw one of the cobblers one day. He didn't do that. Immediately after he cut out the form, while the leather was still wet, he just went on and nailed it back to the shoe and didn't let it dry. So he asked him, he says, does that make any difference? Does it still last as long? He said, well, it makes them come back to me a whole lot quicker. They wear out. So he goes back to the guy he's working for, and he says, you know, and he called his name down the street. He said, you know, he just puts it in there wet. And the man sat down and pulled out the scripture in Colossians chapter 3, and he said, listen, I'm not doing this just for money. You know what Colossians says, right? Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. He said, because when I stand before Jesus, I want him to say, you know, you did every shoe the way it should have been done, even though no one else saw it. You know, dedication and instruction all there together. You know, you're teaching your child. How do you do that? How are you teaching your child when you go into the fair and everybody under 5 gets in free? But your child just turned 6. When we get up here now, if they ask, you're 5, right? What'd you just teach them about your value system? Is it okay to lie? Oh, well, no, that's what you just did. How does that work? Any way you instruct them, how are you doing that? What is their value system that you teach them? As I told you, my dad wasn't a believer, was an alcoholic most of his life, worked real hard, never abused us. I never in my life, and he had a hard life, I never in my life saw him ever take anything that belonged to someone else, even when there are opportunities to take advantage of someone. Why? Just where they were raised. Well, they ain't ours. What did I learn from that? Whatever's not mine that I don't have okay to get, I don't take it. Even though they might owe it to me, until they tell me it's mine, it's not mine. So we instruct them all the time. You know, how many times have you done this one? Somebody comes to the door. If they ask for me, I'm not home. You go to the door, and where's your mama? She says she's not home. What did you taught them? You just taught them it's okay to lie. What about they stay out all the weekend, you let them run up and down wherever on Saturday, but when they get up on Sunday and it's time to go to church, it's too tired, you say, well, I know you had a hard week, so it's okay. What are you telling them? That's more important than church. You see how you instruct them? We do that. When anything comes in over what God's, you say, well, it's okay not to go to church. Where'd you get that idea? It ain't in the scripture. What does it tell you clearly in the scripture? What does he say? forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. As a matter of, some were already starting to lay out of fellowship. And I'm not saying, you know, in a lot of those churches then met every day. So when you say, oh, well, you know, it's okay, what are you teaching them? You're teaching them in a value system. You're training them right there. And if you don't stop and think about it, so when they come up and do something that's not right, you know, who are you going to blame? You. Why? Because you're the one that taught them that directly. Wasn't even thinking. Well, I didn't think about that. Right, we don't think. Training what? You sit down, you have a process, this. It costs. But if you're going to do it, that's exactly what it is. The term is used to describe the action of a midwife. Whenever a brand new child is born, so they can go ahead and get the child to nursing, they would take sugar dates from date palm trees and rub it in their mouth to give them that desire to want to nurse. Do something to instruct them, to cause them to want to do it. That's part of it. Who stimulates the palate so that they will do it. Find a creative way. You have to know who your child is first. If you do not spend enough time with your child to know their personality and know how they're put together, you will never do this right or never have a chance. So that's the first thing. How much time do we spend with them to know who they are? That's part of it, the instruction. As parents, we're to create a taste of desire with the child so that internally they want to do it and they don't feel like they're made to do it from the outside, but they have a desire on the inside. That's a lot of work. You have to find it because every child's not the same. If you have one more than one child, and a lot of it has to do with personality. How are they put together? This worked for this one, it won't work for that one. How do we do that? Dedication. The recipient of, you know, how do you motivate them? Did I pass over that one? Oh, there it is. This thing is, and by the way, if you're type A and you say, you know, all those words are not the same. I know it. We've had a gob of trouble this morning technically, so it's just amazing it's on the screen. So just calm down. If some of you are worried about it, it's not centered. We know that. All right? I forgot to tell you that to begin with. I know some of you are sitting out there, that's too far over that way. I know it. Okay, I know that. Sorry. Motivation. It comes from the Arabic word to describe, oh, that's what I just told you. I just didn't even see the motivation word. I looked over it. How do you motivate someone to do the right thing for the right reason? You know, I read a story. They said it's true. It was the first Gatorade. You know when Gatorade was created? Was it with some of the Tang times with the Apollo guys going to the moon or something? You all remember Tang? You said, what is he talking about? Who remembers Tang? Okay, it was created for the astronauts, right? Really, it was, right? Yeah. Did they convert that over to Gatorade? No? Well, Gatorade, they said, was really used in World War II, training people that were going to fight in World War II, and especially it came out of Florida where it was so hot and muggy all the time that their obstacle course that they were training them on, it ended up with this a large pool that they had to run up there, grab the rope, and swing over it and land dry on the other side. Well, in southern Florida in the summertime, guess what? It's hot, isn't it? All the time. And so some of the guys finally learned they would just drop in the water. They wouldn't try to get across. And the lieutenant said, this ain't going to work. So he put a big alligator in the pond. And they called it Gatorade. I didn't come up with that, okay? Guess what? Nobody else jumped in the pond. They went across. How do you do that? You figure out something to help your child want to do that. You know, that's what that means. You said, that's complicated. Exactly. None of this is easy. We're to create a taste. How do you do that? You have to be creative. The recipient of the trial, of the training, who is it? It's a child. It's not a 12-year-old. It's not a 16-year-old. You know, how many times in our 25 years of ministry, well, you know, I just can't do anything with them. I say, what you been doing with them for the last 14 years? You're bringing to me at 16. You want me to fix it? What you been doing with them for 14 years? See how that works? You can't wait till they're 16. It says train a child. It means when they're young. That's what that means. One who's dependent. One who says, if you don't do this, you don't eat, they can't go out and get it somewhere else. Y'all know what dependent means? That's what that means. In need of care. You have a big advantage then. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yes. Do we forget that? As long as a child is dependent on his parents, he has received ongoing training regardless of his age. You know what my philosophy is? As long as you live in the house, you do what mom and daddy says or you get out. And they shouldn't have to take care of you. If you're saying, well, I'm not going to do that. We love you, but we're going to miss you. You know, and if you think it's okay, child, you're wrong. That is not the way that works. You live in the house. I don't care if you're 50. You do what they say or you get out. You know, that's the way that works. As long as they're in the house. The content of training in the way it should go. We're going to talk about that one next week. Liberalism in religion, paganism in society, materialism at home, and boy, what else? Humanism in education. Wow. Boy, you better teach them all these things from your house because they're not going to get any of those things everywhere, and we're covered up with it in every one of those situations. And they will fall to that if they can't recognize it. So we'll go into that next week, all right? The parents or guardians are to dedicate, instruct, and motivate their children to do what God evidently has best equipped them for. And they all went, well, what does that mean? Well, you don't know what the child, what God has in mind. I do know. God has in mind that he live a godly life, period. If he becomes a doctor, he's a godly doctor. If he becomes a farmer, he's a godly farmer. If he becomes whatever he is, whatever she is, absolutely, God intends for them to be a godly person regardless of what they're doing. So you can stop and try to figure out, well, does it mean? It means that. And then whatever else they choose. That's what it is. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it's not questionable what we should be teaching them. It's evident. God wants us to teach them because they're not born knowing this. Remember Deuteronomy? Remember what it's called? The second giving of the law. Why? Because whenever they came out of captivity, they were raised with generations in there that didn't have a clue what God said. You remember what Jude said in chapter 1? He said, I really want to sit down and write this great testimony to you about what God's doing. In verse 3, he says, but I can't because the pagans have crept into the church unaware, so I'm going to have to stop and teach you how to look and see what is going on here wrong. And the picture is someone's coming in the side door and undermining the gospel, so someone has to know how to see it. You know, we had a class back in the 80s in Bible college they call cultural milieu. Have you ever had to take one of those? I said, what in the world is this about? But now I know. We had to look at movies and evaluate what really they're trying to say and teach the rest of the people. It's amazing when you start doing that, what you find. Is there anything behind all that? You better believe it. There's a message behind everything they're pushing out there, and 99% of them is not positive. That's what that means. We have to teach them to be able to look at this and this and this and this and say, this is what it really is. You know, for example, whenever they say, oh, I'm going to have to go back in time because I don't watch all this crazy stuff anymore. But back in the day of the beer commercials that I had to look at, it was Old Milwaukee. They still make that? Yeah. How do y'all know that? How y'all know that? And you know what? Remember what it said? It doesn't get any better than this. And that's right. It only gets worse. They don't show you how the ones that start there end up throwing up on themselves out there in the gutter and living homeless. That advertisement don't take you to the full scheme. And that's what you have to teach your kids. Oh, this looks good over here, but this is what's going to happen. You have to teach them to think through the process and assess it because there's never that bad picture shown with all the stuff they're trying to sell us. Am I right or wrong? Right. Take them down there to the morgue and let them see a dead body that somebody just got killed because some drunk driver ran into them or somebody doped up ran into them. You said, oh, that's horrible. They'll remember that one. I guarantee you. Help them. Train them. That's part of it. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You can't make them, but you can show them the evidence of it. Proverbs, their wisdom statements, is not a promise. But it says this is what can happen. They're not magical guarantees, but they're general truths and about the most important issues of life. And if God's biblical process has been followed, the desired results usually take place. If you have any talent at all and you discipline yourself to practice the guitar, guess what? You will what? Learn how to play. Do we all understand that? Yeah. If you do these things and you discipline yourself, there is a real good chance a godly person is going to come out of it. That's all he's saying. So when it doesn't come out, a lot of times, guess whose fault it is? Mwah. It's our fault. Why? Because we've been out there doing all other kind of crazy stuff. We don't know what's going on in our kids' life. We hadn't disciplined them. We hadn't done this. We hadn't trained them. Because, oh, they're going to do that. No, they're not. No one else is going to do that. Not the way we can do that. A child can still reject the training of godly parents, breaking the hearts of those. Yeah, they can. But usually godly parenting ultimately results in some godly offspring. It's just one of those statements. You know, if you practice real hard, you will get better. Isn't that right? I remember one of the guys that started playing the guitar when we got to North Carolina. When I got there, there were no guitars in the church. When I left, one of the Sunday mornings, we had 9 musicians on the stage. But one of the guys never played before in his life, and this guy's in his 60s. He said, I'm going to start playing the guitar. Hey, his rhythm, this has more rhythm than he had. You know what rhythm means when you're playing the guitar? A lot. You know, timing. You know, you're staying time, and you don't go too fast, you don't go too slow. Man, he learned the chords, he learned the notes. I still don't know the notes. You know, I play by ear mostly. I don't know these notes, and he was looking at the thing and playing these notes, and he worked at it hard, and he did a lot better. But he's never going to really be really, really good because he just doesn't have that natural timing that you kind of have to have. But did he get better? Yes, he did. Why? Because he dedicated himself to do it. When we dedicate ourselves to train our children, the chances are good they're going to come out godly or really, really good. If we don't, no, it's not very good. It's just by one of those grace measures. Why? If we have no help in that coming up. You know, I read a study. It was done at Cambridge Delinquency, something they called it, where they studied 411 kids from age 8 to 32, and watched them, where they turned out, where they were, all the bad things that happened in their life. And what they surmised was the things that they were taught between 8 and 11 determined where they would be in their life. Would they be in prison? Would they be this? And the things that they learned, and they listed a lot of things, coming out of a broken home, this, all kind of things. But the things that happened in their life in those 3 years, 4 years, right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 4 years, really affected what happened to them. What are you saying? The Bible, how many times has told us? The things that we teach our children when they're young absolutely affect how they come out in the end. So it's important. Persistent, careful, godly parenting produces adult children whose Christian faith and commitment stay. They stay with it. They don't quit. As a general rule, if you're straight, all you can do is pray. You say, man, I messed that all up. As we already said last week, all you got is God's grace. And you say, God, boy, we flunked that one. Oh, we're at your mercy. Will you help them? And pray for them. That's all you got left. And then go help your grandchildren. You know, I don't know, can I say this? I think I can. Someone said after the first service, said, you know, the one benefit you get for not killing your children is you're raising your grandchildren. When they were coming up, that you didn't kill your own children because they were so bad, is your grandchildren. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true or not because we don't have any grandchildren. You just say, God, you're going to have to do something. Whatever, I messed up, this ain't right, but God's grace. And thank the Lord God's graceful. Training begins with a child. What does that mean? You don't have to wait. You know, time they start talking, they should already be being fed something from God's perspective that they can repeat. You teach them the scripture before they can speak. So when they can speak, guess what they're speaking? Not something they heard on television. God's Word. You'd be surprised. You know, how much they can memorize because there's nothing in there yet. Right? If you start when they're children. Start when they're young because it's so much easier to correct them when they're young. Isn't that right? You know, if you have some volunteer, shrubs or trees come up in your yard, when they're about this tall, you can go out and pull them up, right? Let them stay there 20 years, and guess what happens? It takes an excavator, and it makes a big mess. See, that's how it works with children. You know, if you can correct them, it takes a lot of work, and it's kind of messy if you will let them get that old. Most of the time, when they get that old, you can't do anything about it. It's already too late. Chasing your son while there is hope. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him. Bedtimes. It means early. That's what that means. You don't wait. You know, I know if you're a Dr. Spock parent, you don't like this idea of chastising your child or spanking them or doing it because you don't want to ruin this little psyche. You know what they said? You don't want to lose him. You already lost him. If you're not willing to do that, you just consider him gone if you don't do that. Why? Well, here it is. It means early, while they're young. They have a great ability to learn. They can memorize so fast. You know, Meredith's not in here, is she? You know, I wasn't raised in church. My mom and dad never taught me anything from the Bible. I never went to Awana's. You know, I didn't have any of that stuff. She went to Awana's a few years ago in another church because we don't offer it. And I'm talking about under 6 years old. And what they were teaching her to memorize every week, it would take me months. And you could just ask her, she'd blah, 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 all these verses. When'd you do that? Oh, I learned it a couple days ago. What? Why? Because her head's not full. That's exactly why. Young, that's the time to do that. And they have a great ability, but you can't wait till something else goes in there and fills the space. It's just natural for them to ask a lot of questions. Do your kids ask a lot of questions? They say, I was bad at it. Why? I still want to know why. We said, we got to do this. Why? Daddy oftentimes, he said, why do we need to do that? I used to ask, why do we have to stand up every time we sing? They didn't like that in church. You know, used to, we stood up and sat down. We got a lot of exercise. Y'all remember that days? You remember those days in traditional church? I mean, we sang five songs and we stand up and then we sit down. I said, why do we do this? Those old deacons didn't like that. Of course, I was already 18. I said, I don't understand why we do it this way. Anyway, that's a great time to try to teach them something. You say, well, a child at three can't. Right. You don't have to give him every little iota, but you can give him a basic guideline of answering the question that they ask. You'd be amazed how much they retain. But tell them the truth. Don't just make something up. You know, good in heavens. They have a great curiosity. That's the way God made us. We must train with discipline. You're going to have to discipline yourself real quick. We're about to be done, all right? The idea of training is that's what? You do things that you don't want to do. If you're training for a race, if you're training to lift weights, if you're training to learn how to sing, you do things when you just do not want to do them. You know, Thomas Huxley said that. He said one of the greatest things is to force yourself to do what you know you need to do when you don't want to do it. If you do that when you're young, most of the time we wait till it's too late in our life to understand that. If we do it when we're young, how much better off we are. We have to do it. We discipline them because we love them and because their human nature, our human nature, demands it. Foolishness, that's wickedness. That's not silliness. It's bound in the heart. They were born with it. Oh, they're just little angels. No, they're not. Yours is not. And mine is not. Oh, how many teachers do we hear? Whenever they have to call a parent in, the parent never, oh, my child didn't do that. Well, we got it on camera. Oh, well, no, my child didn't do it. No one's child's bad, isn't that right? Hello? Right. They are bad. Oh, they're just little angels lying there. No, they're not. It says foolishness is born in them, and you have to help get it out of them. And depending on their personality. They're not little angels. You have to get it out of them, the foolishness. We must stop trying to win a popularity contest and help them with their future. They're not your best friend, always. You're the one who's trying to help them make it. So that when they get to be 18, they're not wearing an orange suit. Y'all know what that is? Jail suit. Or what color are they now? Used to be striped. Is it still stripes? Yeah. If you train them now, we don't have to fund them in prison. That's a waste, isn't it? No. Okay, I don't have time for that either. I'm sorry. Get to know who they are. Spend time with them. Discipline to save them from hell. It's actually what the verse says. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Wow. Boy. Now, America doesn't like that word. I might as well say I'm a Trumpite if I did that. And then I'm the lowest person on the planet, right? I don't care who you are on that deal. That's just the way it looks at it. Our Western mindset and culture now flinches at that word because a lot of people have abused it. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what the word means. It has the idea. It's not a club. It's finding something, whatever it is, that causes the child discomfort but does not harm them. You know, whatever that is. You know, it can be a little tiny peach limb at the very, very end where it's really, really tiny, but it stings. That's all that means. In 2 hours, they won't feel it. It's not like they're going to carry that with them forever, but they think about it right that minute, right? That's what that means. You're to discipline at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. Never are we to do physical harm to our children. Child abuse is never from a godly perspective, ever. And they try to say, well, if you discipline them, that's what it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. A child without doing physical harm, yes, you can discipline them, depending on who they are. Some of them, you never have to touch them. Their mentality, their whole personality is, you can just yell at them and that's all it takes. But some of them, that doesn't work. We had two boys. We had a lot of twins in our church in North Carolina. We had six sets of twins in a church of only 200. And a lot of them were boys. Matter of fact, all of them were boys, but one set. Isn't that right, Debbie? Yeah, just one set of girls. Well, this couple came to our church, and they were educators and educated people, and their boys were, I don't know, under five. But they started coming to our church and Sunday school, and they didn't spank. Well, all the rest of us in there were for spanking, if that's what it took. Well, you know, they just didn't do that. Well, shortly afterwards, as we talked about in our Sunday school class, we just said sometimes that's what it comes to. Well, finally, that's what it came to with those little boys. And Dennis said one day, he said, you know, I've started doing that, and it's helped some with one of them. He said, it's not going to work. I said, you stay with it. You just stay with it. Consistency, that's it. And a few weeks later, he said, you're right. It worked. And now I never have to touch them. Why? Because I know they're serious. You know, if you always say, well, if you don't stop, I'm going to do this, and you never do anything, they'll never stop doing it. Isn't that right? We got to quit. Here's the main thing. If they don't learn to respect you in your home, there's none in the school, there's none in the government, there's none in the church, there's none anywhere. And that's why anybody can think they can just run out there, and if they don't agree with you, they can ruin your supper out in the public or do whatever they want to do right now. Why? Because there's no authority figure. Everybody's their own person. And guess where it comes from? The house. They learned that first from you as mom and daddy or grandmom and granddaddy, whoever's raising them. And if you don't teach them, they're not going to get anywhere else. So guess what? If we raise them without that, no one in society wants to have anything to do with them. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. Because they don't respect anyone, no one's stuff. They'll steal anything. They'll do anything they want to because they don't respect authority in anyone's life. Raising children a godly way, ooh, what did Forrest say? It's tough. But God expects us to do it. Nobody else. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that your grace is sufficient. We all make mistakes. Lord, there's some sitting here whose children are already out of the house, and they look at all this, and they say, boy, we really messed up. Your grace is still sufficient. Lord, I just ask that you remind them just to be diligent and pray, that you would still intercede, that you would interfere in their child's life and bring them back to you. Father, for those of us who are still trying to raise our children, just remember, help us remember, Lord, remind us what it takes from us, how we have to sacrifice all other things for our children's sake so that they will be raised and they will stay with you. Father, help us do all that we can do for them, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.